Stellar Fundraising Auctions presents Black Tie and Tails, brought to you by our partner Sojourn Ventures, featuring your co-hosts Greg Kuroga and Devon Bell. Welcome to Black Tie and Tails, where we share tales of triumph and tragedy from behind the scenes in the wonderful world of fundraising auctions. I'm half of your hosting team, Greg Kuroga, joined as always by my co-host Devon Bell.
Hello, all.
And welcome back, dude. Welcome back in the saddle. I feel like we have not been doing this or doing auctions.
Yeah, we're in our slow time, and it's a funny part of the rhythm of this career that you got a month where you do multiple events a week, and then you got a month where you do zero events.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, but July was that month for me.
Yeah, July, the month of destination events, and I'm not doing any of them. So it's kind of nice, you know, but in the crazy world of our fundraising auctions, it's nice to have a little bit of downtime. It always is. But it's nice to come back and get rolling. And we're both already back at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My first one was last weekend. How about you?
I just got back from Bend, Oregon, doing an event up there I've been doing for a decade now. I just figured out. I realized I've been working with the High Desert Museum on the High Desert Rendezvous for 10 years. And it's funny how fast the time goes.
Indeedy. I'll endorse that.
And one of the interesting things about getting back to it is to go through that shift of, you know, when you're away from auctions, away from galas, you're not doing anything for a while, you kind of wind up spending a lot of time in reality, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our work world is different than the regular world, right?
You don't always wear a satin vest like in your regular life.
And I'm not always surrounded by incredibly generous people throwing money at a cause, not at me, but at a cause, right? You know, like and we spent a decent amount of time in reality and to get back on stage and get back in the room, to get back in the galas and all of a sudden be immersed back in it again. I think it's always a fascinating shift. It was way more abrupt and disruptive the first couple years I was doing this. You know, and you've said it before, like, oh, it's like, oh, got to get back on the bike.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, how does this thing work? You know, and you know, now decades into it, like it getting back to it.
I remember years past, because now I'm right 10 years in as well. But in years past, when I would do my first auction of the fall season, mm-hmm. and of the spring season,
sure.
We pretty much have December and January off as well. And I would get that feeling like, did I ever do this?
Do I know how?
Did I used to know how to do this?
I'd get on stage and people actually raise their paddles and do what I ask. That's crazy.
What do I say?
And then also to slip back into it and all of a sudden be like, oh, okay, here we are in this world of amazing philanthropy and people being incredibly generous. And it is very real in the impact it has, but gala is different than reality. And so this episode's theme is gala versus reality.
I like it. Reality versus regality.
Sure. And because a good fundraising gala manages to shift people's perception away from the value of money and onto the value of the organization, right? A good fundraising gala engages you emotionally and makes that irrational philanthropy that we have discussed forever makes irrational philanthropy possible, right? Like I've always said, like if somebody wants us to, you know, stop the auction so they can donate $2,000, great. It's so much easier to get that $2,000 in that setting than to walk out of the room and go out into the hallway of the hotel or the ballroom or whatever and get somebody to give you $2,000 or to go out on the street and get that $2,000, right?
And for the person giving the $2,000, that setting is one in which they drop $2,000 without the same kind of logical processes taking place. Don't we say all the time what we want in the overall vibe of the event, and especially at the appeal for the fund to need, is we want to get away from being expository and saying the great work they do and get about feels.
Yes.
And get into our feels, because that's where irrational philanthropy comes from.
Right. And in a good gala setting, that is the reality versus the reality of doing homework and looking at reviews and trying to figure out, like, oh, do I really want to go to Cancun? And so in that context of gala versus reality, we often see things selling for wonderfully preposterous amounts.
Wonderfully preposterous.
Yes.
I love it. It's good stuff. Yeah, that's right. And that is a perfect example, Greg, of reality of money and then gala reality, gala reality of money, which is not, you know, money is this measure of life energy and how much do I spend versus how much Cancun do I get.
Right.
What we want to say is that this organization can only survive with your help, and you're raising, right? And everyone's going to push a little and stretch of what you could, right? So everyone can feel good about giving that gift, and it isn't like, oh, I feel this much better because I gave this much more. Everyone pushes and gives a little more than they expected to and has warm and fuzzies going home.
And one of my favorite things to do is to open an auction with a warm-up lot that has a low retail value, but hopefully a high perceptual value. School I've worked with for 21 years now opens every auction with a chilled bottle of wine, chilled bottle of champagne served to the winning bidder's table. And very quickly that establishes that the value isn't in the champagne, it's in the school. And you have a similar story.
Yeah. First, I'll comment on that champagne. That's a real common one.
Right.
I've done it 100 times and you've probably done it 300 times. And it's a good one for a couple reasons. You know, it kind of gets going and it allows people to see other people who don't win in the audience to see, we're not going to measure the value of the champagne. What we're doing here is giving. And, you know, and then, it's just festive. Well, what is it? Your table mates will toast your largesse and good taste.
Nice.
And the neighboring tables will look on you with envy. So
glad we're recording this. I can steal that line.
FOMO it up a little bit. So yes, I do have an example of that. And it's one I know you've done a million jillion times, which is the cake.
Okay.
Right. The first lot is a cake. So not commonly, but it is a thing at auctions where for the first lot, maybe you do the bottle of chilled bubbly, but you also do it with a cake, not a dessert dash, which maybe we could talk about at a future time, or maybe we've already talked about.
I don't know if we
just a cake. And the secret here, the trope, the conceit is that the cake,
the secret ingredient.
That's right. Is love. The cake is made by someone who has some importance to the organization. So, yes, it's great. You know, I've seen it before where it's a school and the cake's made by a bakery that's right next to the school.
Sure.
So all the kids know.
All the parents know.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I have two examples. One was a Catholic school.
Okay.
And as you
there's maybe, some baked in guilt there.
Yeah, yeah. I said, but I'm but as you maybe see coming, they did a cake baked by a beloved nun who had been there forever. So that doesn't have anything to do with her baking skills.
Right.
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 But when that cake sells for, you know, $2,000 or $3,000, the nun comes over and gushes and hugs everyone. And can you really put a price on a nun hugging you and telling you you're wonderful, right?
No.
So, and then the other one that was a cake is I did a dance organization, and their tradition was a couple cakes at the beginning that were baked by the dancers.
Okay.
And so at these events, there's lots of leveraging the fabulousness of the actual dancers, because these are people who love ballet and fetishize it. And you know what? The dancers, men and women, are absolutely beautiful and amazing and effervescent.
Life.
Yeah, exactly. They're just they're just like oozing life and wonderfulness and charisma. And so what we would do is auction off the cakes, bring up the dancer who made it, and they would give a little adorable description, you know, not that they're chefs, but they would give an adorable description of the cake. And I could just hear people in the audience going, "Aww." Exactly. And then I think also they had dancers sit at the tables of some of the guests.
Oh,
and so if you won the cake, that dancer sat at your table.
Wow. So elevating the personification of the auction lot to a whole new level.
Correct.
Like it's, making it not just about the cake, but the relationship.
Yes, about the beautiful, effervescent dancer and being able to be in their aura of wonderfulness.
Wow.
So, that was $3,000 cakes are not reality, but they're...
But they're
gala reality.
Galality.
Yeah, gala reality.
By the time we're done with this episode, we'll come up with whatever the phrase is going to be.
Hey,
we'll figure it out on the fly. Speaking of on the fly, if you want to add something fly to your auction and don't have any international travel, may we suggest our partner, Sojourn Ventures. When your auction is in need of some international travel, check out Sojourn Ventures. Sojourn curates trips to Bali, Spain, and now they have three options in Italy, Cortona, Venice, and Puglia. Your bidders can spend a week on the Salento coast at the heel of Italy's boot in warm Mediterranean waters. All these trips, reasonable consignment prices. Sojourn offers a dozen curated packages, including round-trip airport transfers, full-body massages,
yes,
daily
please.
Breakfasts, in-home chefs, dinners, and more. Your buyers will enjoy top-level concierge service 2 full years to redeem their trip, all at reasonable consignment prices. Check out www.sojournventurestravel.com or look for the link in the bio of this podcast. It's great when your gala doesn't have reality in it. It sucks when reality rears its ugly head, and you can literally like see the reality monster like pop its head up in the middle of an auction and start looking around when everybody starts like being like, hey, you go to, let's start the bidding at $2,000, and everybody goes, huh? Right?
$2,000,
right? Like what? And there's no bidders, or even worse. So here's the ugly side of gala reality. And it's the, if the good side of a gala, of what happens at a gala, if the good side of what happens as a gala is that people's investment in the organization is an emotional and a financial one. If the good side of a gala is that people arrive and they are emotionally engaged and they become irrationally philanthropic, then the bad side of a gala is when it's all too real and people arrive and they're not invested in the organization and they don't understand what's asked of them. And so I did an event once. It was, I'm trying to steer clear of names for the sake of this one, but it was for a music organization in a valley where they make wine. And one of the people who founded the organization was a wealthy philanthropist, like at the time, one of the wealthier philanthropists in the Bay Area. And he was going to be in the room.
That's good.
That's great. And I'm working with and I should preface this by saying that it's a summertime event outdoors in the sun, a decent amount of wine lots, right? And a week before that, I'd been in the Central Coast doing the Central Coast wine auction as I did for 8 or 12 years with Archie McLaren, who has passed on, but Archie was a creative force in the universe. Archie, like if you drove out to Avila Bay, you could tell which house was Archie's because it was just painted wild colors and you could see it from the water. I mean, Archie was great. And the Central Coast Wine Auction, that was one of those 75 lot wine auctions that we used to do. And it was 5 hours long.
I was just going to say that's more than 4 hours for sure.
And things at that auction would sell for $50,000 to $100,000, right? We had lots of stuff sell for a ton. So this other event that is not being named, the executive director of the organization is also planning the live auction and has this, if we build it, they will come mentality. And I keep asking all of the questions. Who's going to be our lead donor for the fund of need? Oh,
and they'll go, we don't have one, but we're not worried about it.
Oh, there's lots of money in the room.
Right, right.
So-and-so is going to be there.
Last year, we got a na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. So-and-so is going to be, this is the first time for this event. Oh, so there is no last year. We have no basis from which to work.
Right.
And this wealthy philanthropist is going to be there. So I'm like, well, who's going to, where do we start the fund to need? Start the fund to need at 50,000. Great. Has so-and-so committed? No, but they're big supporters of the organization. Like they'll be good. So, okay, 50,000. Then what's our next stop? 25,000. Great. Who do we have lined up there? Nobody. Okay. Okay. 10. Like, no. Okay, fine. Well, let's talk about the auction lots. Let's talk about our opening bids. Oh, yes. All of our opening bids have to be, if this is retail, all of our opening bids have to be at retail or higher, right? So if it's an experience,
right,
instead of saying, okay, it's a private chef's dinner for 10 people paired with wines, and we're going to start the bidding on this at, you know, 10 people, $300 a person, $3,000, like something that's still like expensive, but my, you know, and for certain chef's dinners, whatever, but instead of like giving it time to build, right, we're like, no, we're going to start the bidding at 10,000.
If you start the bidding where it is retail, then the value prop aspect of the auction is gone.
Right.
The second bid is being philanthropic.
Right.
Second bid.
Right. And that's fine if the value prop is the organization, right?
Yes.
That's right. That's
fine. It's fine, but some people are at the auction to try to get a good deal on something. They just
sure, are. but engage them low, but the way that you get them to go high is by having an having engagement with the organization.
Momentum kind
of
thing.
Yeah, emotional commitment to this organization's success, right? So there are bidders at this auction who I know and recognize from the Central Coast Wine Auction, right? And they're big bidders. Like these are people who spend a couple $100,000. They have a great time at the Central Coast Wine Auction. They're not bargain hunters. They don't need to save $5,000 on a vertical of Screaming Eagle, right? They just need to feel respected and be emotionally engaged. And so the auction gets going, and I'm starting all, like, I've been told these are our opening bids. Our opening bids are all up here. We're starting the auction here.
And scary reserves.
Scary reserves.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't go lower. This is then, and like, this is our organization, is this type of organization. We deserve this amount of money, right? Right. Just this attitude of entitlement. And, you know, you're nodding along because, you know, that does not fly.
You can't, I say this all the time, you know, when the organization will say before the things, okay, get out there and make us a lot of money. And I always say, I don't have a paddle, so I'm going to go out there and do my best, but none of us have a paddle, and we don't know until we get going what they're going to do, because that's not us.
The table of big bidders is sitting on their paddles. Ooh. They will bid once on an item and that's it. So items that at the Central Coast would have been selling for 30 to 50 easy are like dead in the water at opening bid of 15.
And you're hoping for that sympathy bid to get you out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Please just get me out.
I mean, we'll get one bid and then that's it, right?
Like oh, thank God.
Like reality it hasn't just reared its head. It has brought a blanket in and is suffocating this audience, right?
Did you have to do the... I think we found our screaming bargain of the night. If anyone comes to their senses, you can get it at the front on your way out kind of thing.
Oh, I don't even remember if I had to like just let a lot go and not sell it. I mean, it was overshadowed by two things. Oh. So we get to the fund a need, right? So at this point, like we have not built up momentum.
And fund a need's early because you have 75 lots.
So no, this lot's not 75.
Oh.
This auction is only like 20 lots. So
still in the middle.
13 lots in a fund to need. Yeah, exactly. These are the halcyon days of 20 lot auctions, right? And so we get to the fund to need and make the appeal, and you know, it's a music organization. Like you're enabling we're about to have a great concert outdoors. It's beautiful. It's like, I think it was the I'm going to date it here and get me in, but I think it was, it was the first event done at this beautiful outdoor venue, right? I mean, you would think that this was just a recipe for complete success.
Stage is set.
Go out at 50,000 and that founder of the organization, the biggest bidder and the wealthiest individual in the room does this. looks like pops his head up, does the like, you know, like meerkat. Oh, who's going to give 50,000? How entertaining is this? Like looks around and nobody gives. And he's like, oh, oh, you know, and he's like, oh, I was hoping. And everybody's looking at him like, we thought you were going to do it. And I'm looking at the executive director of the organization and he's like, what are you doing wrong? And I'm like, oh my goodness.
What are you doing wrong?
We go to 25,000, you know, and like we probably eked out a couple hundred grand at this event. I mean, it wasn't like a miserable failure. We finally get to like 10 and somebody's like, you know, like raise my paddle at 10 and feel like a cheapskate because all I'm doing is 10,000. And the founder of the, you know, the big bidder, the big money's not even playing at that point, right? I mean, yeah, when that auction was over, I circled around to the big bidders, the people I knew from the Central Coast, and they were like, hey, we get it. So-and-so set the bids, didn't they? Like they saw right through it. I'm like, yeah, they did. Because the week before we'd been starting stuff where you could play. We'd enabled the crowd to engage and to build up that irrational momentum.
If you start at a thing where you go, huh, that's a pretty good deal for that. It doesn't mean it's going to end up there. But what it means is people raise their paddles and you get, as I said before, momentum.
Right.
And you know, you're like, I really want, you know, this is a good deal. Raise my paddle. It's still a pretty good deal. Raise my paddle. Okay. I want it.
Right.
But now
right.
See in there, it changed.
That shift.
Yeah.
That shift changed. Is like, important.
But the value prop part of it and for the auction part, otherwise why have, right? We get like you told me this once and it was so right. When you're doing the auction and selling the lots, if you resort to, hey, it's for the kids.
Oh, you're doomed.
You've lost.
You're doomed.
You've lost. You've got to save that for the fun to need. That's where we express those feelings.
Well, and they're supposed to know it's for the kids before they get there.
Of course it's for the kids.
They're supposed to walk in knowing it's for the kids.
Right.
If you're leaving your messaging to your auctioneers to be the one who's carrying all that water, right?
Right.
We don't have a bucket big enough to carry the water for the whole room, right? Like why the crowd should be there is an individual thing for each member of that crowd. That's why I tell board members when you're inviting people to attend the event, you're inviting people to your table. The most important thing you can do, the best way you can help us raise money is explain to them why you support this organization.
Yep.
I want you to come to this event and help support X because why? Right. And I can't tell you what that why is. I can't tell you why you're watching this podcast on a Tuesday afternoon or whatever it is. Right.
Yep.
But if you care enough about your organization to invite somebody to attend your event, you care enough about your organization to help plan an event, then you should need to express that, like communicate that in a way to get somebody to buy into it. Because otherwise, how many galas are there a year?
Right.
Right. I mean, yeah. people can go get hotel food or good food. I mean, not that hotel food is bad. People can go get a 3-course meal and listen to an auction pretty much any night of the week in San Francisco.
And whether you're health or the arts or a school or whatever, actually your heavy hitter who's going to raise their paddle high up in the fund and eat,
yep.
They already asked them for money at the Capital campaign last fall, and they gave a huge chunk of money then.
Yeah.
So you're so right. The expectation of giving needs to be woven into it every step along the way. You're not here to hear the story of it. You're here to help support it and make it go.
And when done right, like the value prop of the auction isn't even a question. So I work with Tum Tum Tree Foundation in Birmingham, Alabama, and they do a wine auction. It's been going on for a long time. I'm going on my 11th or 12th year with them now. And I remember the very first year they sent me their list of lots in a spreadsheet, and their list of lots had all of what I thought were values printed in this one, you know, in this one column to go with the list. And we're talking, I was like, okay, so, you know, I see that this collection of sine qua non is valued at, you know, it has a value of $4,000. Yeah. Where do we start the bidding?
And you're like, generically, I usually recommend like half.
And they're like, no, 4,000 is where we start the bidding. And I was like, but I've learned to like, okay, how does that work for you? Right? How does starting at 4,000, and they're like, great. It's where we start. Our crowd knows.
I mean,
right?
That's true.
And the culture of that event is that retail ain't shit. Retail's not why you're there. You're there to support the Tum Tum Tree Foundation and the children of Birmingham. And sure enough, you start the bidding at 4,000, the thing sells for 12. It's amazing. It's so much fun, right? But it's because inside the walls of their gala, it's a different reality, right? The reality is helping kids. And they the first year I did that event, it was like 150, 175 people, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And we got to be like 450 at one point. And 450 is a little too big. 450 people, suddenly the reality at those back tables, right? Up near the stage, you have the families who have been involved, the big bidders, everybody knows each other. And then you get to the back of the room, and the reality in the back of the room was, we're here for a party.
I say it all the time during consulting when they go, oh, you know, should we try to get more people? And I always say, way more important than how many butts are in the seats is what butts are in those seats. And, you know, this is a truism in auction. 200 people, 400 people, 600 people, these 30 people make the auction
yes.
go. Without yeah. these 30, you got
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah. And the connection between the back of the room and the front of the room is really important from yeah. a peer perspective, and also just like an emotional engagement. So after Tum Tum Tree peaked at 450, they're like, you know what? And now we're back down under 300.
And
amazing more money.
And making
yeah,
more money.
Yeah,
right.
Amazing more money.
Right. So you're going to tell one more story.
Well, I was just thinking about, I love the gala reality of events like Tum Tum Tree Foundation, mm-hmm. Where it is so obviously not about the value of what's up for auction. It is so obviously, and I think one of the ways that reveals itself consistently in organizations across the board is through buy-in parties.
And you know, I would say, not even necessarily reveals itself, because this doesn't happen by osmosis. It is cultivated.
Yes.
You build
yes.
That,
yes.
You build that.
Yeah.
Right. You go, oh, this event, they've got such a great vibe. No, you need to build the expectation yeah. of giving. We know events where they have buy-in parties and they fail, actually. And you don't even get enough people to fill up the table. And then we get ones where it bids up to stupid high heights.
So, I just got back from the High Desert Museum in Bend, Oregon. Shout out to Sydney, the auction director there, and Dana, the executive director, and the whole team. They are an amazing team. And you talk about cultivating. I mean, I tell them every year, you guys do amazing work. And it's obvious when you're doing good work year round, because your crowd knows it and respects it and shows up and supports it. And their event, when we first started working together, we were like, ooh, 5,000 donors. Owner and the fund to need, and oh, you know, and I remember a couple of years ago we came back and I said, okay, so where are we talking about opening the fund to need now? And this is post pandemic. They're one of the few organizations that grew through the pandemic, came out of the, I mean, talk about arts.
Virtual?
No, I mean, they did virtual, but I just mean like as an organization,
yeah.
You came back after the pandemic and the museum's visitation numbers were up. Their engagement numbers were up. Their education numbers were up. They are in Bend, Oregon. As I said, they're one of the few organizations in their industry that can claim, and I mean, that they have the number of visitors that visit the High Desert Museum every year, the number of unique visitors is 2 times the population of Bend.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
They get more people, twice as many people visit that museum as live in their town. Now, I mean, you know, you can, I'm not going to take away from that or diminish that in any way, shape, or form. That is that is incredible work. Right. And so, a couple of years ago, we said, okay, well, where are we going to start the fund to need? And Dana, the executive director, tells me, I've got somebody who's going to do 25,000.
And you started at 5 the first time you did
it. First time we did it, 5 was a stretch. Like, oh my gosh, are we going to get somebody at 5? And now it's at 25. And that kind of growth, like that doesn't happen just because we're brilliant on stage, and we are, you know, high five to us, but
and humble,
the most humble, but actually that's not true. I can tell you who's the most humble, but then I'll get in trouble. But, that doesn't just happen because of us, but we are part of enabling that to become a reality. Because when the auction, like my expectation in an auction is that people are going to spend as much as they can, right? There's no amount that's too high. As far as like retail, great. Love going past retail. 5 times retail, beautiful. Love to see it, right? 10 times retail, woohoo, right? Knuckle crack. Now we're talking. It doesn't happen every time, but the expectation is nobody can spend too much. on an auction item in support of the High Desert Museum. And you know, 2 weeks from now, it'll be nobody can spend too much in support of To Celebrate Life or whatever the organization is. That's just like the core belief, right? So that, I also celebrate every bid. Every bid's an act of heroism.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Every person who raises their paddle is participating in a positive way. And so I try to bring an infectious joy to that that makes it all a celebration and then recalibrates expectations, right? So we don't get from 5,000 to 25,000 in a year, but we do get there in 5 to 10 years, right? Of them doing great work year round and us being able to celebrate and support that work in the reality of the gala.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true year over year as you grow your event and you grow the expectation of giving and you build your community of donors. And I liked how you said it's so true about celebrating every bid.
Yeah.
And what I will say to my spotters when I'm training them is if someone's in the action, whether they win or not, go over to them, stand by them, give them love, support them. If you get a royal flush on the flop and everyone folds, it's our non-winning bidders that make the auction a success.
Yep.
And the person who won the auction, if they had raised their paddle at the first bid and they won, it's the same person winning and it wasn't a success.
It doesn't feel as emotionally successful.
But if you have bidders, then it makes it good.
Yeah. So one of the things I love about the High Desert, one of the things I love about the High Desert Museum is not only are they a historical and cultural preservation organization, but they also do animal rescue rehabilitation. And if they can't release them into the wild, then ambassador conservation, right? So they have all these animal ambassadors.
Who, that they take to schools and stuff.
Or that schools come visit. Like the otters don't travel well. Right.
Well, they otter.
The otters have this amazing exhibit and you can go with it. So this year's auction item, one of the auction items was it was a buy-in party for 10 pairs, 10 couples to go hang out at the otter exhibit after hours with the animal curators, the animal trainers. And you're going to get to feed the otters and hang out and watch a training session while listening to, a band and enjoying music, right? Like great little party. The problem that I noticed when we were going through the catalog on our pre-event meeting, talking about opening bids, talking about this buy-in, we've got room for 10 couples. And in the catalog, it says, this will be sold at $1,000 per couple for 10 couples. And I'm like, what if there's more than 10 hands in the air?
Then you got to raise the price.
And I raised that. I said, but somebody in your crowd might be mad because in the catalog, it says this will be sold at $1,000 per couple.
It should say this will start at $1,000
yes. per couple. Yes. And I said, this is on me for not communicating this in advance when we did the opening bid, when we did the lot order. This is on me for not setting that expectation that this should be opening bid. So there's two things we can do here. One is we can just take the first 10 hands in the air, like brrr up, and because there's going to be more than 10 hands.
And
in
that's
the air.
Chaotic because there's rampant late cheating hands.
Yeah.
We can navigate that.
First 10 hands. Or the price can go up. And this is what I love about Dana and her team. They're like, or we'll just do a second one. I said, okay, well, great. So here's what we have to do. We have to, we need the date for the first one, right? So let's do a slide. So the first one is June 5th, 2026. We've got a slide with the otters, took 10 hands. I kept count behind my hand. We're at 10. I said, okay, well, good news, bad news. Good news is that's 10. So June 5th is filled, but next slide, boom. Up comes June 26th. I said, but we thought this might happen. So there's room for another 10. Who do you want? Do you want to go on the 26th? And just kept going and sold 10 more. And then one last paddle went up. I'm like, if somebody's not going to show up for those other ones, we'll make room. Yeah. And sold. And so they sold 21 opportunities, right? $21,000.
Yep.
People paid $1,000 per couple to go spend, like, to like on to denigrate the opportunity to say to like go hang out with the heat and have like some drinks and music and watch somebody feed some wild animals. Or the flip side is they invested in this organization that they care about very deeply and were willing to like the concept of getting behind the scenes at something that they love, the value of that and the value of supporting the organization. Because $1,000 per couple for like I guarantee if you put that on their website and said for $1,000 you can go and do this, people at home scrolling through the website looking at that would be like,
$1,000,
you're crazy,
right?
But that's where reality lives,
yeah,
and that's not where we want to live.
That's right. And at the event you're like, because you're so generous, we're going to give you access to the scandalous world of Otters After Hours.
So scandalous. Such slippery little creatures. Shout out to John and the animal team at High Desert Museum too. Takeaways. I think the biggest takeaway in all of this is that you need to emotionally engage your crowd before they arrive.
Right.
Right.
And you know how we always say there's no right way.
Sure.
But we're going to be intentional.
Yes.
And we're going to think about, overthink and measure and think about what could happen, what we're doing. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? What's our goal?
Yes.
And so there's a real place for expending some energy to make sure that we get people into the gala reality.
Yeah.
Right. The real reality of the world is like entropy and pain and failure and like
savings, yes, right?
Coupons.
And I mean, I will fret over a $5 difference on two things on Amazon, right? Like, ooh, which of these camera tripods should I get? Should I get the one that's $14.99 or $19.99?
Reading reviews.
Right. And that, yet at work, I ask people to just drop hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars on the spur of a hat, like on emotional moments, right?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm the same. There's a time to drive across town to save 25 cents on gas per gallon, you know, and minus the gas you use driving across there. And then there's a time to drop a grand because it's the moment and you need to do it. So we want our guests in that latter headspace, yeah, not the former.
Yeah. And to that end, I think part of that is never to assume that, because I say it all the time, if you build it, doesn't mean they're going to come. And if they come, it doesn't mean they're going to support you. So to never make assumptions about your crowd's knowledge of what you do, motivations for being there, or willingness to support you. Cultivation, donor cultivation, is a conversation, not a dictation or a hope.
Yeah. Field of broken dreams. If you build it, they might still not come.
or if you build it, they might come and drink and steal a bottle of wine from the silent auction and pour it at their table.
Right. Right. Look around to see who's giving at the fundany, because it ain't them.
Right. Because, boy, but you know, but one of my least favorite compliments is, boy, that auction was entertaining.
Right.
You were so funny.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that means I was dead in the water. Because if I'm doing my job right, I'm just saying numbers and making that exciting.
Did I tell you the one I just did last weekend? I got actually one of my favorite compliments ever.
Oh.
And she said afterwards, it was the ladies doing the cheeses at the reception.
Sure.
And one of them said afterwards, we were talking, and they, oh, you did a great job, the usual. And she said, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I think you are the least irritating auctioneer.
You got it. You got it. Oh my God.
She said, you're so much less irritating than other auctioneers I've seen. I was like, that is the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me.
I've gotten a variation of that 5 times now.
Right.
Right. I've gotten, the first time I heard it was, you're the least offensive person I've heard do that. And I was like, thanks. You know, but then, yes, yeah. Oh my God, you got it. That's
damning with faint praise. Just
brilliant. I love it.
You don't suck. I don't care what everyone said.
Oh, I'm along those lines. That's up there with when somebody introduces it. Okay, well, I'm not going to take any more of your time.
Or get up there. All right, we're about to start. I know you all hate auctions. All right, take it away, Greg.
Thanks, Devo. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for this episode of Black Tie and Tales. We appreciate you being here. Always good to see you, brother. You can find us, obviously. Got to remember to...
Smash that like button and subscribe. Turn on notifications, whatever else.
Do all the things.
Do all the things.
You can find us on YouTube. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple, Google, all the places where your podcast subscriptions can be helped. Turn Google on your phone. And be sure to tune in for our next episode. Have it your way.
Yeah, it's your event.
It's your event. That's what it is. It's your event.
I'll have it your way, too.
Yeah.
Shout out to McDonald's or Burger King.
Burger King.